Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee, karup, guten tak, ciao, weevi, vaket, bang, half a day, jajanendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan. Peace, how? Go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial security state, poor nation, in the bankrupt, bribocratic, cheese-covered post-constitutional corruptocracy, mockracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where, strangely, they somehow mistake murdered animal cadaver for food. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Even more strange and curious, we commemorate our 10th anniversary broadcasting on real mainstream radio stations, corporate owned. We commemorate 10 years of animal liberation, media infiltration, hijacking the airwaves as the only voice in commercial radio advocating for compassion for animals, urging you not to eat them or wear them or buy products tested on them or attend so-called entertainment that exploits them. And how do these messages somehow infiltrate the mediocrity of our monopolistic media, the ABC and NBC, BSP, BS, Fox, Cox, Comcast censorship channel? How do we infiltrate the airwaves? We buy the airtime. That's why your tax-deductible donation is so important. That's why it's so important for you to advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products. If you're in the biz, you can contact me, Bob, at goveganradio.com, and please support our sponsors and advertisers. Buy their products. Call them to thank them for their support, like EcoVegan with its wonderful ready entrees, GMO-free. Check out EcoVegan, ECOVEGAN.com. You know, as long as we keep the checks flowing to the radio station owners who obviously have never listened to this program, which probably offends all of their other advertisers, well, as long as they keep getting a check, you know, they're fine. So I don't tell them that we're anti-meat, anti-dairy, anti-vivisection, anti-fur, anti-leather, anti-circus, anti-hunting. I tell them it's a vegan show. It's really more of a National Geographic travelogue about the country of Vega, far off on a distant continent. It's really a very pleasant travel show, and please don't make the situation happen where radio management will have to listen to the content of the show, okay? So we're safe there. And everybody's talking about the theatrical charade that took place a few days ago. They call it the State of the Union Address, although I think the opening greeting of this show every week pretty much sums up the State of the Union even more. But you know, I look at the speech given by Nobel Peace Prize winning war expansionist President Monsanto Obama. I look at it more like the stake in the heart of the Union address. You know, we're a country united by an aberrant, repulsive behavior that feeds every problem we have, that creates every problem we have, that nourishes every problem we have. You know, if we don't address our diet of death that feeds the massive healthcare needs and costs that we have, you know, all this talk about healthcare, Obamacare. Well, if Obama really were to care, he would, in his address, say, go vegan. Where was that message in the steak of the Heart of the Union address? Regarding healthcare and Obamacare, the stake is right in the heart of the Union. Look at the Bloomberg Businessweek article from January 24th, the headline, U.S. heart disease costs expected to soar. Health Today reporter Steven Reinberg reports that costs in the U.S. for treating heart disease and stroke are expected to triple in 20 years. Triple to $818 billion. That's a $5.5 billion increase. You know, so we have Stanford Medical School Associate Professor Dr. Paul Heidenreich, chair of the panel, issuing a policy statement on behalf of the American Heart Association, saying, quote, "The burden of heart disease and stroke on the U.S. healthcare system will be substantial and will limit our ability to care for the U.S. population." Did you hear that? We'll limit our ability to care for the U.S. population unless we can take steps now to prevent cardiovascular disease, end quote. Well, currently, 36.9% of Americans have some form of heart disease, meaning high blood pressure, heart failure, coronary heart disease, stroke. By 2030, that figure goes to over 40% of Americans. About 116 million meat and dairy consuming Americans will have heart disease. There are predicted 25% increases in stroke, 25% increases in heart failure. Now, you know, all one has to do is discover in the past archives of this program that heart disease is preventable and reversible. I would submit to you, I would argue that my discussion with you here right now is more valuable than the State of the Union address from Obama. You know, to you personally and to us as a nation, because based on this position paper from the American Heart Association published on January 24th in Circulation, well, heart disease and stroke will make it impossible to care for Americans. So if you care for Americans, you have to go vegan. If you care for Americans and our economy, it is your patriotic duty to go vegan. You know, how are we going to be able to afford all those wars, all those bombs, if costs for heart disease and stroke are going up $545 billion? I mean, the Tea Party should be right out there up front demanding that we cut all meat and dairy from this country. You know, we cut meat, but we cut it out from this country now. Then again, if we cut meat and dairy from our diet and stop eating such vile and violent ingredients as flesh and blood, well, maybe we won't want to fund war so much anymore. Maybe war won't be funded, or it won't be so much fun. I don't know. Not only will your elimination of meat and dairy, well, it'll increase your elimination, but not only will your elimination of meat and dairy increase blood flow to the brain to prevent stroke, maybe we'll think more clearly and choose peace over war. And it is that lack of blood flow to the brain that causes stroke. I recall a past guest on this program in our decade of broadcasting, Dr. David Webers, MD of the Mayo Clinic, author of Stroke Free for Life, saying stroke is caused by the consumption of animal products. Humans are not meant to consume animal products. And heart disease, preventable, reversible. Remember my past guest, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn of the Cleveland Clinic? Look him up. Bill Clinton did. Esselstyn, Esselstyn. So you'll find out a wealth of information there. Also a wealth of information at the website of PCRM, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM.org. Oh, if only we had a responsible government. But as you can see, the enemy of Americans more likely to kill you than Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. The enemy is heart disease. Do your patriotic duty to prevent it. Go vegan. Actually, we do have a responsible government. Unfortunately, responsible for the most heinous acts against people and other species and the environment. I mean, call me a Tea Partier, or maybe call me a Green Tea Partier. Huh? But I say, let's save the money and shut down the FDA and the USDA. You know, with friends like the FDA and USDA, you know, who needs these corporate polluters? And what can I say? A few weeks back, I reported on the show how the FDA abdicated its responsibility and allowed Bayer Corporation permission for widespread use of its pesticide, known to be harmful to bees. Duh, we're wondering why bee populations are collapsing. Perhaps it's a pesticide harmful to bees. Why are birds falling from the sky? Well, and then we get all of this conjecture about the birds. It was fireworks, it was lightning. Oh, it's just the natural occurrence. It happens all the time. But now that we have YouTube and the internets, people can just see these mass bird deaths more often. Or how about the USDA is killing them? That's right, your tax dollars at work. If your hard-earned tax dollars aren't going toward, buying bombs or subsidizing the meat industry, they're going toward the purchase of poison that the USDA uses to routinely kill millions of birds in an operation that it actually calls "Bye Bye Blackbird." I say "Bye Bye USDA." The USDA admitted, or I should say, confessed to the killings in a report on KTIV TV in Yankton, South Dakota, where there was a bird die-off recently. Carol Brenneman of USDA Wildlife Services claims the bird kills are to protect human health. The dead birds in Yankton were apparently survivors of a recent large bird kill in Nebraska, prompted by the complaints of a Nebraska farmer to the USDA that starlings were defecating in his feed meal. And instead of suggesting to the farmer that he cover his feed meal, the USDA came a-running with a poison called DRC-1339 and fed it to thousands of birds. Who knows the effect on other species and the environment? But who cares, right? No care here. No Obamacare for the birds. No any care for the 4 million birds needlessly and insanely poisoned with your tax dollars. I'm afraid that that pretty much describes the State of the Union in a very direct way. It was Gandhi who said, quote, "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated." What does that say about the state of our nation? Coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, you heard the reaction to Obama's speech, well, from the Republicans, not enough war, homelessness, hunger, and disease. From the Tea Party, not enough TV shows with Sarah Palin shooting Bullwinkle. Well, today, what would the Green Party reaction be? We'll talk to Eric Brooks of the San Francisco Green Party. Also, did you know that the national party platform of the Green Party embraces, endorses veganism and animal rights? That's coming up also on today's program. The people who can't even feed themselves, think that they can feed us better. As the Congress broke for recess at the end of its lame human session just before Christmas, it gave us the Food Modernization and Safety Act, and a group of concerned citizens in Vermont isn't swallowing it. You'll hear from Jessica Bernia of the Vermont Coalition for Food Sovereignty and its very powerful and defiant resolution. It is our 10th anniversary. Please support this show with a tax-deductible donation. We purchase airtime every week. Your donation supports Progressive Talk Radio also. So you can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. There are hundreds of archives for you to hear. For archives and podcasts and to donate online, go to goveganradio.org.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
You can enjoy meat-free nuggets that taste even better than meat nuggets. Try the delicious vegan entrees from EcoVegan. Visit ecovegan.com to find out where you can buy them all and current news about EcoVegan. EcoVegan entrees are GMO-free and full of flavor, natural ingredients, fully cooked and seasoned. Just heat, serve, and enjoy. No cholesterol, delicious entrees from EcoVegan. Sunshine patties, spicy bits, Oriental's Joy, Ocean's Delight, EcoVegan, EcoVegan.com, ECOVEGAN.com. All right, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. It is the Vegan Revolution on air now for
10 years, animal liberation, media infiltration, and an approach to the environment like no other program. And you can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. You know, in our bribocracy, we have to purchase the airtime to have a voice for compassion for the animals in mainstream media. You can donate online at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And, well, we talk about the vegan revolution going on. We sometimes wonder in this country, you know, what is it going to take, you know, for there actually to be some sort of, you know, revolt that happens. You know, we get endless wars, no revolt. We get fraudulent elections, no revolt. We get foreclosures and joblessness and a Wall Street bailout and still no revolt. But what happens when you mess with our food, huh? Well, Jessica Bernier is the outspoken stay-at-home mom of three in Vermont who spends much of her time focused on issues related to individual liberty and food and health freedom. In November, she organized the only nationwide protest against the Food Safety and Modernization Act. And those involved with the protest decided to take a proactive approach to protect the basic human right to food, and a resolution was drafted, which became the Vermont Resolution for Food Sovereignty, and a working group was formed, the Vermont Coalition for Food Sovereignty. And so is the ghost of Paul Revere shouting again throughout New England? Are the seeds of a new revolt being planted there? You know, that we got this new law in the dead of night as Congress was breaking for its Christmas recess. So, Jessica, welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. How are you today?
I'm great, Bob. Thank you for having me. And I really hope we do start a little revolution here, a big revolution.
Okay. It seems like it might be needed now. So the Food Safety and Modernization Act, you know, what does it do, and why do you find it so objectionable?
Okay. Well, what does it do? It does an awful lot, but an awful lot of what it does we don't know yet, because most of the rules haven't been written. You know, this is something that this bill has had quite a lot of, and people were very happy to accept the Tester-Hagen Amendment to the bill, which would, as they say, it would reduce some of the burdens on the small farmers that make less than $500,000 or that ship within 275 miles of the farm. But it really doesn't eliminate a lot of the paperwork, record keeping, risk management plans, all of this stuff these farmers still have to do. And so, you know, we feel that this is going to be burdensome and is going to get in the way of people's right to access fresh, local, healthy food. We have the right to produce it, we have the right to consume it, and we don't need additional barriers in the way of that.
Yeah. And so what do you think those additional barriers will be?
Well, okay, let's take the risk management section for one minute here. We have a situation in bill in section 103, which is the hazard analysis and risk-based preventive controls section. It says that each farmer needs to develop a written analysis of the hazards. Okay, and the hazards could be biological, chemical, physical, radiological hazards, natural toxins, pesticides, drug residues, decomposition, parasites, and unapproved food and color additives, hazards that occur naturally or may be unintentionally introduced. And so these farmers have to have a risk management plan for every crop that they grow. So when we're talking about very, very large monoculture farms where they grow one crop, be it corn, be it soybeans, be it something that's most likely GMO, they have one risk management plan that they have to put in place. A diversified, small diversified farm, even a large diversified farm that's raising, you know, anywhere from, you know, 30 to 75 different types of vegetables on their farm, has to have a risk management plan in place for every single one of those crops.
Wow. So that's an extra added burden on the vegetable grower?
Right.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And yet, You talk about corn and soy and risk management. Why isn't it taken into account that most corn and soy would be GMO? And how do you manage that risk with cross-pollination to farms nearby? I mean,
That's kind of the part about it that I think is really the most insidious and one of the parts that hasn't gotten that much attention is that the FDA up until now has had control or jurisdiction over food, and the USDA had jurisdiction over crops. The FDA has, for all intents and purposes, and you know, probably officially, which I can't point to anything right specific, have determined that GMO foods are safe for consumption. Okay, so that means now that the GMOs are considered safe as food, which means that GMOs will, it looks to be, like with FDA control over crops, GMOs would be considered safe crops.
That is very scary.
Well, sure, because it's not about healthy food, Bob. It's about safe food.
Mm.
And we don't. And who has the right to say who? Who tells us what's safe? And when do we get that individual choice, that freedom, that American liberty that we have to determine what we put into our bodies?
Mm. And yeah, I mean, Obama in his State of the Union address said that we have safe food here, but I mean, they're full of pesticides and antibiotics, and chickens are allowed to be fed arsenic, and that shows up in the food supply. So, who is to determine? And then, if the FDA says GMOs are safe, well, doesn't that put every farm at risk suddenly? Or no, I guess not, because the FDA says what's safe.
Right. I mean, that's the question. I mean, that's part of, you know, that this bill is so huge. There's so much involved in it, and so much of it really hasn't been written yet that we have to keep a really close, watchful eye on what ends up coming out of the rulemaking process.
Mm. So we know that that the rules we get out of our gov-enronment right now usually are written by corporations. So where do we smell the money here?
Exactly. But, you know, and it's funny because they, you know, when this type of legislation is written, there's always a backdoor way out for the large corporations. And here you have that in, I think it's Section 105 under variances. And this is how foreign countries, I mean, right here it says request for variances, a state or foreign country from which food is imported into the United States may in writing request a variance from the secretary. Such requests will describe the variance requested, et cetera, et cetera. And so for these large international corporations that are dealing in food, they can apply for a variance. They can afford to go through the variance process. Are smaller farms going to be able to get variances? I don't know. Will the Testerhagen Amendment protect smaller farms? I don't know. When you look at the way our money situation is going, I was just reading an article this morning about how products are seen on the shelves of the supermarket that are a lot smaller than they used to be, but the price hasn't changed. That's inflation. That's inflation right there. And our food isn't going to be any cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Right. I also, you know, I look at saying our food supply is safe, and if people eat what, you know, even what they give school children today, they're on the way to heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes. So it seems to me like the vegetable farmers are the ones who need the most help here, and they're getting a great burden. This is really
right.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is that I have yet to meet a farmer who says, I need and want help from the government. What they want is to be able to grow their food and sell it, you know? So how about get the government a little more out of the way? Let's not make things so difficult for these farmers.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially these days, I mean, we know the enormous influence Monsanto has on the government, so of course we get mm-hmm. GMO that's declared safe, and then suddenly that becomes the law of the land. So the group that you formed, what are you trying to accomplish then now?
Okay, so we wrote the Vermont Resolution for Food Sovereignty. Do you want me to read it?
Yes,
I can give you the website and we can link to it.
Well, I think actually I would like to hear it. Let me take a quick break, and we're going to hear the roots of the revolution in Vermont. We'll hear Jessica, and we'll actually hear the resolution coming up. Interesting that, you know, Vermont, doesn't your state capital, isn't, and let's see, remember from grade school, it's Montpelier, right? Is that?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yep.
And no McDonald's in your state capital? Are you the only state with no McDonald's at the state capital? Or is that?
That's right. There is no McDonald's in the state capital. And we actually just had a little confrontation with McDonald's about maple, about their new oatmeal with fruit and maple, which didn't actually contain any maple. And so now the fruit and maple food at McDonald's in Vermont has to have some real maple syrup in it.
Ah, okay. Vermont would get upset about fake maple, I guess, right? But that's great. I think, you know, as vegans, I think we're moving to Montpelier right now. So no McDonald's, a McDonald's-free city. Oh,
yeah,
all right.
Well, I think vegans actually would find Montpelier to be a very welcoming little town, for sure.
Great, okay. Very green there, so. Okay, we will continue with Jessica Bernier and... And we'll talk about the revolt coming our way from Vermont on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And if you miss any of what we're discussing, the program is archived at goveganradio.org.
Please make donations to this show to help make it a better world. Click donate at goveganradio.com.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soup, salad, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798. VegetarianHouse.us.
Okay, we continue. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and we're talking to Jessica Bernier. She has been proactive in reaction with her group against the Food Safety and Modernization Act, and we hear the roots of a revolution coming out of Vermont in the Vermont Resolution for Food Sovereignty. So, Jessica, what is that resolution that you've crafted?
Okay, well, I'll read it to you. Whereas all people are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and whereas food is human sustenance and is the fundamental prerequisite to life, and whereas the basis of human sustenance rests on the ability of all people to save seed, grow, process, consume, and exchange food and farm products, and whereas we the people of Vermont have an obligation to protect these rights, as is the common and natural law, and in recognition of the state's proud agricultural heritage and the necessity of agricultural, ecological, and economic diversity and sustainability to a free and healthy society, therefore, be it resolved that we the people stand on our rights under the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and reject such federal decrees, statutes, regulations, or corporate practices that threaten our basic human right to save seed, grow, process, consume, and exchange food and farm products within the state of Vermont. And be it further resolved that we the people shall resist any and all infringements upon these rights from whatever sources that are contrary to the rights of the people of the state of Vermont.
Wow.
And there it is. That's resolution.
That's quite amazing. Quite a stand you're taking there. So take that, you corporate government. I don't know. Here, does the civil war start here? You know, over food. You know, but I mean,
I don't know.
It is the basic right. You know, we don't really want to be poisoned. So,
right.
Yeah,
well,
so,
the thing that I find the most encouraging about all of this is just the really broad range of people that have stepped up and become involved in this process and with the coalition, because I think that when it comes down to it, what we said in the beginning of this resolution, food is human sustenance and is the fundamental prerequisite to life. When you don't have any food, nothing else really matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so a lot of these things that tend to divide people, unfortunately, a lot of social issues, you know, intervention, foreign policy issues, a lot of these different things tend to separate people. But none of that is going to matter when you can't put food on your table for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
None of it matters. We are all human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Food brings us back to that one thing that we all are, and that is individual human beings.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, I define food as fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables, seeds, legumes. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And so, Jessica, if people want to get involved with your movement or contact you, what might they do?
Well, the best place to go is VermontFoodSovereignty.net. That's our website. We are updating it, trying to keep it pretty regularly updated. You know, we're an all-volunteer, totally unfunded, unaffiliated group. We're just a bunch of individuals that care about our right to food. And so you can find any and all contact information there. We also have a link to our Facebook page, which is updated a little bit more frequently with information about the coalition and the resolution.
Okay, and if it seems like I've endorsed any revolution, it's peaceful, nonviolent. I just want that to go.
Amen.
For the FCC to hear that part. So.
Amen.
You know, as it is, this program itself might be a violation of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. So if you find yourself listening, do call the Department of Deutschland Security. Let them know that you've listened, especially about food sovereignty. Oh, now what trouble we're going to be in, huh? So, thanks, Jessica. We have maybe 30 seconds left. If there's anything else, did we miss anything about the subject?
I don't think so. I really want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to reach out to your listeners with this.
Well, and it's so important that a citizen, you know, this is, look at what one person can do, you know, I mean, citizens have to take action, and you're doing that. It's the American way. You're the patriot in Vermont taking action on behalf of you know, the common good, you know, the right to the pursuit of happiness, you know.
We're trying. We are trying, that is for sure.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jessica.
Thanks, Bob.
Take care. Well, again, thanks to Jessica Bernier. Isn't it amazing? We get a food modernization and safety law from people who don't even know how to feed themselves. You know, the only vegan in Cannes, Greece, is Dennis Kucinich. And this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Listener supported. You're listening. That makes you a listener. You can donate online at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And we go from the green state of Vermont and its citizen activism to the Green Party. After President Monsanto Obama's State of the Union address, the media gave us the Republican response, and then we got the Tea Party response. Well, what would the Green Party response be? We're talking today with Eric Brooks, once again, from the San Francisco Green Party, and welcome back to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Eric, how are you?
Hi, Bob. I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on again.
Thanks for being with us. So what are your thoughts on the State of the Union address delivered this past week?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Vermont, because it's a great contrast to Obama's dismal speech. And what I mean by that is that there are legislators in the state government of Vermont right now putting forward legislation that would deny corporate personhood.
Wow.
Just like some cities have been. Now the state of Vermont is actually going for that.
That's wonderful. I was just talking to my previous guest in Vermont. We vegans may want to move there then in that case, especially because Montpelier doesn't even have a McDonald's, so it's a McDonald's free zone in the state capital.
Well, they've got a lot of dairy farms, so we've got to get them to work on that. But
we'll work on it. We'll bring our soy milk and rice milk with us, you know, our almond milk, sure.
But the point is that development in Vermont is a total contrast to Obama's totally pro-dominant corporate sellout in his speech. I mean, it's just a total contrast. Vermont's going the right direction, and Obama is clearly going the absolute wrong direction. And if I were Dennis Kucinich, I would think it'd be about time to leave the Democratic Party at this point.
Well, I guess he feels he can have some influence over, you know, part of the monopoly that we have. You know, it's interesting that the Republicans and the Democrats all, you know, sat together, just admitting, hey, we're all one party. Why hide it anymore, right? We're all the corporate party.
Exactly. And that's what Obama's speech was all about, was we faced the similar times back in 1929 after the stock market crash, and instead of stepping up and doing what Franklin Delano Roosevelt did to deal with the Depression, Obama is doing exactly what Republican Herbert Hoover did, which is to bail out huge corporations and banks and cut things instead of putting huge amounts of revenue and dollars into lifting up the Main Street and working class of the country by doing a huge build-out of public works projects.
Right, and especially, you know, you would think a high priority would be the unemployed and all the foreclosures. Shouldn't that be a national crisis? But no, it's when the Wall Street, banksters need some more billions in bonuses that, you know, the equivalent amount would wipe out the deficit in California. But that seems to be the priority. And I guess we all are quite disappointed in Barack the Bummer here. We really expected something else.
Yeah, well, I got really excited when he said that this is our Sputnik moment. But then after he announced that it's our Sputnik moment, hinting that we should do a massive program to change our country, he didn't say anything about what we should do. The next step after saying it's our Sputnik moment is to say then that we need to have a huge Green New Deal on the scale of the production that was used for World War II. Mm-hmm. We literally need to put that much production into building rail and mass transit, shifting to solar, wind, and other renewables and efficiency, completely retooling and reshaping the country's relationship to energy. And it would create probably hundreds of thousands of jobs to do that.
Sorry, no money to do that. We're off spending money on wars elsewhere. So how, you know, we can't have money for domestic programs when we're busy bombing people everywhere. That's kind of expensive.
Yeah, and instead of proposing that Green New Deal build-out, what Obama did was simply repeated what all the fossil fuel corporations are spinning about energy independence, which is biofuels and nuclear and clean coal. And he used the same phrase that the fossil fuel energy companies and the nuclear companies use, which is, we need all of these things to solve the energy crisis. And that, of course, is nonsense. What we need is real renewables, not pie in the sky and dangerous stuff like stuff that's actually destroying the planet, like biofuels, clean coal, and nuclear power.
It's always upsetting to hear support for nuclear and clean coal, as if there could be such a thing. So anything else strike you about the State of the Union address?
It was incredibly striking and alarming to see Obama claiming that he has somehow reduced the intensity of the Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan wars, when actually he's actually raising the intensity of those wars, and they continue to become more and more like Vietnam. The only thing that's happening in Iraq is that we're just shifting to a different style of occupation, where we literally have built the largest U.S. embassy in the world in Iraq and staffed it with huge amounts of security forces. And then we've pulled some U.S. troops out of Iraq, but we've all beefed up the presence of paid mercenaries in Iraq for the United States, like the former company Blackwater, which I think is called Z now, and other corporations like that. So we haven't changed anything on foreign policy. We're actually just continuing to make it worse. More of these automated drone bombings of innocent people in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and it's just insane. And I think it's finally time for Democrats to realize that, at least on the national level, the Democratic Party is no longer reformable, and progressive Democrats need to start looking at other parties. And of course, I would promote the Green Party, and I think it's the most viable one, but there are lots of good parties out there. There's a Labor Party, there's the Peace and Freedom Party, there's the Green Party, and I think we're at a moment in time where there are enough people that voted for Obama that are so fed up with what his administration is doing that we've got a real chance to create a third party movement in this country now like we haven't seen in centuries.
Well, I think a lot of people who voted for Obama now feel like they don't want to vote at all.
Yeah, and that's dangerous. I mean, people have got to understand that voting is not democracy, really. It's just appointing representatives, and representatives, that's a republic, as used to be said by Senator Byrd before he died. He said for decades, we have a republic and not a democracy, and people should realize that voting is not democracy. However, voting is a tool for us to let the politicians know what we're thinking, and on the local level, it's a tool for us to actually change our local governments. And that's what I, as an organizer, keep trying to impress upon people, is that obviously on things like global warming and the economy and war, the federal government is not going to change things. And that means locally in our own communities, we need to pass animal rights laws. We need to start building renewable energy and mass transit, because our federal governments and even our state governments are not really doing it. And that means cities need to do this stuff. And instead of next presidential election wasting huge amounts of activist organizing time campaigning for a Democrat that's going to completely betray progressives, we need to take all that activist time and energy and money and direct it toward our local communities, making them localized, livable, walkable, more vegetarian, more organic, and more based on renewables and mass transit, instead of waiting for the federal government to do things that it's never going to do. I mean, this supposed beacon of hope, Barack Obama, you know, his newest appointment to his cabinet is a former executive of J.P. Morgan Chase, William Daley. And, you know, that tells you where they're going, and that tells you why Obama's speech was just nowheresville on raising up Main Street and the working class, and shows that he's just, his actions show he's going to continue to bail out banks and beef up the banks, which are making profits, you know, 2 years after the collapse, they're making even more profits than they ever made before. And Obama's perpetuating it.
Mm-hmm. So in the next election, though, if people decide they don't want to vote, do you think it's better that they do vote? And then is it a protest vote, for example, if they vote for the Green Party? And is there somebody who will be the candidate for the Green Party nationally that we know yet in the upcoming election?
I don't know if I would call it a protest vote as much as it's when you vote for someone that's not the Democrat or the Republican. you are doing a lot of very important things. One is, if any party that gets 5% or more of the vote in a state gets ballot status. That's really important. That way you're on the ballot, you can run candidates more easily, you know. And another thing is that even though we've got this kind of false battle between the Republicans and the Democrats, there are moments in elections, especially state and local elections, when what the voters do matters. And they pay, you know, if a large number of people, like they did with Ross Perot long ago, bails out on the Democrats and Republicans, and we see 30% of the voters heading for another candidate that's a third party or an independent, that will scare the powers that be. And the other thing people don't think about is that if we have a good turnout for third-party candidates in a national election, there are local elections going on at the same time. And if you get a bunch of people who really are sick of the Democrats and Republicans, if we as organizers get those people to the polls, then maybe their vote for president will be largely just voicing an opinion. But those same people will vote on local ballot measures and local candidates that actually will make a difference in their local community.
That
makes
sense.
What people forget when they want to boycott. You know, I personally am, my political persuasion, even though I'm involved in politics a lot, I'm a structural anarchist. I believe in direct democracy. However, I don't, like a lot of anarchists, just toss out voting because of that local factor. If we vote, it affects what happens in our local communities in a big way. So, to me, bailing out on elections is not the right plan because of that factor especially.
Very interesting perspective. We have to take a break here, and maybe we can spend another minute or two. We're talking to Eric Brooks of the Green Party of San Francisco. The National Green Party has the vegan lifestyle and animal rights as part of its platform. We'll talk about that for a few minutes coming up today with Eric Brooks on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. It's goveganradio.org.
You can enjoy meat-free nuggets that taste even better than meat nuggets. Try the delicious vegan entrees from EcoVegan. Visit EcoVegan.com to find out where you can buy them all and current news about EcoVegan. EcoVegan entrees are GMO-free and full of flavor, natural ingredients fully cooked and seasoned. Just heat, serve, and enjoy. No cholesterol, delicious entrees from EcoVegan. Sunshine patties, spicy bits, Oriental's Joy, Ocean's Delight, EcoVegan, EcoVegan.com, EcoVegan.com.
We continue now on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Prior to the break, we've been talking to Eric Brooks of the Green Party in San Francisco for the Green Party perspective on the Obama State of the Union speech. And many people don't know that the Green Party, the national platform, actually endorses veganism and many of the elements of animal rights. So surprise us, Eric, with what the platform has.
Well, the platform is pretty amazing. As a matter of fact, I had not really paid that much attention to it until recently, and folks called my attention to it. And even I've been a Green for 17 years or so, and I had no idea that the platform on animal rights was so cool.
It is amazing. I'm shocked myself, really.
Yeah, and I think the reason I kind of have assumed it might not be is that I think I told you last time I was on that when we started our animal advocacy working group of the San Francisco Green Party, we actually got some pushback at first. And people kind of arguing with us about, isn't some animal research necessary and things like that. But if you go on the Green Party US website and look at the actual platform, it's really incredible, including on animal testing and animal research. I think a lot of us as vegans know that when you test things on animals, it's the likelihood of that actually translating to how chemicals or pharmaceuticals would affect people is incredibly dubious. And we learn a lot more by studying human cells in a petri dish than we do from testing things on animals. And the cool thing is that the platform recognizes that, and it asks us to phase out testing on animals and research on animals.
Yep, it's very, very impressive. So what's the website that people can see for it?
Let me take a quick look here. It's a little bit convoluted, but if you go to the actual Green Party website is gp.org. It's very simple, gp.org. And then to get to the platform, you can go to /gp.org/platform/2004, which was when it was created, /ecology.html. And that should get you there. But if you just go to gp.org/platform, you'll find it if you look around. That's how I got to it. So.
Well, that is amazing. So if you are a member of the Green Party, please really be green and live up to the party ideals and go vegan. This is great. It's telling green people to really be green and go vegan. I love it.
Yeah, and if you're not a member of the Green Party, go find that page, get excited about it, and join us. Become a member of the Green Party.
Do you, we have maybe 30 seconds left. Anything you wanted to get to that we didn't so far?
Just to reiterate that we need to stop paying attention to the President of the United States and the federal government as if they're going to change anything, whether the Democrats or the Republicans are in power, and start working in a huge way at the local level for localization, local food, local organics, sustainable, vegan, organic agriculture with localized and mass transit oriented transportation. We need to stop putting so much energy in these national politics and put our energy into rebuild, roll up our sleeves and rebuild our communities so that they're local, walkable, and humane, and totally get us out of this fossil fuel energy funk that we're in.
Become an active vegan citizen.
Right on.
Okay, thanks for being with us today. Eric Brooks, San Francisco Green Party. It is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Thanks again, Eric Brooks of the San Francisco Green Party. Also thanks to Jessica Bernier of the Vermont Coalition for Food Sovereignty. And in recognition of the 10th anniversary of Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Brooke Guthrie has just made a $50 donation at goveganradio.org and has made a challenge to match it. Brooke is asking all vegan veterans, saying, no, that's not an oxymoron, all vegan veterans, vegan chefs and bakers, Southern-born vegans and California-loving vegans, please match the $50 donation that Brooke made at goveganradio.org. Thanks to Dennis Stovall for audio engineering. Please be my friend on Facebook. It's Bob Linden, L-I-N-D-E-N. Or be my friend in real life and organize a cruelty-free softball league. I really would like to play again. Just have to have non-leather gloves, non-leather balls. Well, that's my dream for the future. On Twitter, we are Go Vegan Radio. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, visit goveganradio.org. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday afternoon at 3. Well, you heard President Monsanto Obama's Stake in the Heart of the Union address. You heard the Republican response. You heard the Tea Party response. What would the Green Party response be? We talked to Eric Brooks of the San Francisco Green Party. Also, did you know that the National Green Party platform endorses veganism and animal rights and opposes vivisection and puppy mills? Well, listen this weekend. Also, is there a revolt simmering in Vermont? So you get people who don't even know how to feed themselves, members of Con Greece, just passing a law signed by Barack the Bummer, the Food Modernization and Safety Act, and a group of citizens has banded together saying, enough, don't mess with our food. Jessica Bernier of the Vermont Coalition for Food Sovereignty talks to us about their new food sovereignty resolution. After all, your GovEnron Mint does declare GMOs safe, and if you want to declare your own food sovereignty, if you want to be free of GMOs, free of cholesterol and trans fats and artificial colors and flavors and preservatives, you can enjoy the new delicious heat and serve entrees from EcoVegan. Look for EcoVegan at your natural food store or visit ecovegan.com. Also, visit Vegetarian House Restaurant in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara for world-class vegan, GMO-free, cholesterol-free dining. That's vegetarianhouse.us. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden in the Bay Area, made possible by Vegetarian House and Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants. Now with 200 worldwide, the very first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. And Stanford students have a Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto, where I enjoyed a pizza this past week. And please join me and your friends from the San Francisco Vegetarian Society as we celebrate the grand opening of the new Loving Hut at 524 Irving Street in San Francisco. It's this Sunday afternoon, 1 to 4 p.m. I'll be there. I hope to see you there, too. That's the new Loving Hut, 524 Irving Street, San Francisco, this Sunday, 1 to 4 p.m. Now there are three Loving Huts in San Francisco, one in Westfield Mall, which is Market and Powell, also Chinatown at 1365 Stockton Street. For the Loving Hut near you, anywhere in the U.S., visit lovinghut.us. Please be my friend on Facebook. It's Bob Linden. On Twitter, it's Go Vegan Radio. Advertise your vegan products. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com. We've been on the air now for 10 years. Please make a donation for archives and podcasts and to donate online, goveganradio.org.